Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly in for Big Daddy Graham on a Tuesday morning. Plenty of stuff to get to throughout the course of the show tonight. Obviously, last night was all Eagles, and it will be predominantly Eagles tonight. We'll get into the Sixers and Phillies perhaps a little later on. Let you know where the Phillies GM search stands. They hired a pitching coach that people are excited about, apparently. I'll get Mike's take on that. I'm not really familiar with this guy. We'll see. I guess they got a good pitching coach. Hopefully he'll make an impact. But I heard a lot about Brian Price and how great he was going to be last year, and he was awful. So we'll get to that a little later on. Sixers with their offseason so far, a shocking signing on Friday night, which I really do want to get Mike's take on that a little later on. Traded Zaire Smith, which went under the radar this weekend. So we'll get to them later on, potentially, and some of the things going on with the Sixers. We have Chris Long sound for you, which is pretty interesting. Chris Long, on his Green Light podcast, got to a number of issues dealing with the Eagles and Carson Wentz, and how Jeffrey Lurie kind of has an impact on what's going on right now, which I found very interesting. Chris Long, obviously a guy with a unique perspective, coming from a player used to play on the team, was around a lot of guys on this team, was around Doug Peterson, around Carson Wentz. So Chris Long, some interesting thoughts. And also, we will have a segment later on, a football guy segment. This was a heck of a weekend for football guys. There were a lot of football guy things that happened this weekend in both college and professional football. So we'll get to that later on as well. So a lot of things to touch on. But we will obviously start with the Eagles and the conversation that has been dominating the airwaves ever since the game in Cleveland ended on Sunday afternoon. And that is what is to be done both in the short term and the long term with this quarterback. And what is to be done to, in any way, fix this team. Now, I think we all kind of know that there is no fixing the Philadelphia Eagles right now. They are well beyond, you know, getting these things fixed in the final six games of the season, especially with the schedule coming up. It is extremely unforgiving. The Eagles have squandered countless opportunities this year to beat teams they should beat, including Cleveland on Sunday. Cleveland obviously has a good record, but that was a very winnable game for the Eagles, especially with Myles Garrett out, and they were obviously not able to get it done. And because of that, they sit in a spot where a division that seemed weeks ago a foregone conclusion that they'd win it is now gotten to the point where I don't think they are going to win it. I think there's a legitimate chance the Eagles finish last in this division. That's how bad it's become with this team when you look at the schedule. So I don't think there's any real fixing this offense, fixing this team, fixing this quarterback this year. But as far as what you can do to make it look better in the short term, and we'll get to that. But I want to start with more of a discussion as far as what the Eagles do long term, because that's really what's important right now. Because let's face it, it doesn't really matter whether they win the NFC East or not. I'm well beyond caring about that. And I'm not normally a person that looks at things that way. I always think you get in the playoffs, and if you can get in and give yourself an opportunity, regardless of what the year's been like, as long as you're playing well at the right time, you give yourself a chance, and that's what I'm always focused on until you're mathematically eliminated. I don't look at it that way this year. I honestly don't care if they make the playoffs, and I'll concede that it's probably better off at this point for them to miss and lose all their games and get a higher draft pick. Whether I can root for that to happen, it's very hard for me as a fan to root for that to happen every week. But I will concede it's probably best for the organization long term. It probably is. And when that's the case, you're a bad football team. And this is a bad football team. But when you look at things in the long term, the longer this season progresses, the more it becomes increasingly clear that the Eagles are coming to a crossroads at the end of this season. As we near the end of year three post-Super Bowl, year three post-Frank Reich and John DeFilippo, it is evident that the Carson Wentz-Doug Peterson dynamic just doesn't work. You know, for whatever reason that is, this combination of the two of them, this duo, does not produce results on the football field week to week. It just doesn't. As the last 3 years have gone down, each year, this offense, as a whole, and the play of Carson Wentz have regressed significantly each and every year. It has been a steady and precipitous decline, with the lone exception, and literally the lone exception, being last December. And, you know, that was against the worst competition in the NFL. But it really is incredible that from the moment Carson Wentz came back in 2018, and if you remember, the first drive in 2018 that he played week three against the Colts, Carson Wentz stepped in and he looked exactly like the same guy he was in 2017. Went right down the field playing against, ironically, Frank Reich's Indianapolis Colts. Carson Wentz started that game, took the Eagles down the field on the first drive, took him in for a touchdown, and we thought, okay, Carson Wentz is back. And ever since that point, he has gone downhill. You know, there was that Carolina game that year and the New Orleans game. And yeah, they won a couple games, but Carson Wentz never looked right in 2018. 2019, very much of the same. Comes out, is up and down, doesn't play very well, is awful in the New England game, is awful in the Seattle game during the regular season where he turned the ball over four or five times. And then there was that little blip in December where the Eagles were playing the NFC East, and that kind of covered up for a lot of issues and made us view things a lot differently than we would have viewed it if that month of steady play didn't happen. And then all of that has kind of continued into this year, and this year it's gotten to a point that is just completely unsustainable, and unsustainable in the long term when you look at these two guys together. And this partnership between Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz has deteriorated to a point where it clearly and obviously cannot continue. And come the end of the season, the Eagles are going to have a massive decision to make in regards to their future. And that decision, in the end, is pretty simple. Doug Peterson or Carson Wentz. That's where we are at this point. That the Eagles, come the end of the season, will need to choose between the two. Because both can't be back. And that's the case no matter what happens above them. You know, regardless of what happens with Howie Roseman, whether it's Howie's decision or be it the decision of the next general manager, whoever that might be, if Jeffrey Lurie makes that change as well, their first order of business, their first major decision, or Howie's latest major decision, will be whether we go with Doug Peterson or Carson Wentz long term, but they both can't be back. Because obviously, without Frank Reich and without John DeFilippo, these two don't work well together. And the Eagles have tried to change the pieces around them. They got rid of Mike Groh. They brought in several assistants, including Marty Mornemweg and Rick Scangarello. And that obviously has not only not worked, it seems to have made things worse. So that can only lead us to the obvious conclusion that Doug and Carson need to be broken up. And, you know, when you look at this, you got to look at it and exclude all external factors. Forget the contract of Carson Wentz. Forget the cap hit that it would cost you to get rid of him next year. Because honestly, this decision is too important to make based off of what 1 year of eating significant money is going to cost you. You can't make a decision for the next 10 years based on what it's going to cost you next season. You can't do that. And if everything else is equal, if you are on the spot and you need to choose at the end of the season, who do you want to move forward with? Who do you think will have more long-term success if they remain in Philadelphia without the other? Who are you choosing? Doug Peterson or Carson Wentz? And if you want to get in, 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494. Because I'm telling you, this is exactly where it's headed. I will guarantee, and it doesn't matter what happens the rest of the season. I mean, the Eagles could win out. They're not going to win out, obviously. But they could make the playoffs. They could get to 6-7 wins. It doesn't matter. They both will not be back. Either Doug will be fired or Carson will be let go. But there is no way both of these guys are back with the Philadelphia Eagles next year. And the reason I say forget the contract, forget all these other factors, do I understand their factors? Of course. But this is too big a decision to base off, we got to pay Carson next year, so he's got to be the guy. No, if you're Jeffrey Lurie, or you're Howie, or you're the next GM, and you know deep down that it's not Doug's fault, and you know deep down that Carson is the problem, then you got to get rid of Carson. And if that costs you next season, it costs you next season. And next season will be a developmental year for Jalen Hurts and a developmental year for the football team, and you're building for, you know, 2022 and beyond. And if that would be the case, and you'd have to take a $25 million cap hit, whatever it is, then unfortunately, you're going to have to bite your lip and you're going to have to do that. But if you believe that Carson is the problem and Doug is the solution, then you got to bring back Doug and you got to get rid of Carson. I'm not saying that's necessarily the answer. I'm not 100% sure what is the answer. I'm not 100% sure, you know, that Carson is the only issue. But there is certainly a disconnect between the two, and that's obvious to anybody who watches the Philadelphia Eagles. And this is all coming to a head at the end of the season, where this organization is going to have to make the most important choice an organization can make when it's not working with the head coach and the quarterback. And that is choosing which one do you trust more. If you believe Carson's the problem, you got to move on. If you believe Doug's the problem, then you got to hire a coach who you believe can come in here and salvage Carson Wentz's career. Because right now, his career is in the toilet. And I don't know if he can be salvaged. I don't know if he can be fixed. But if he can be, you can't afford to let this go on another year with him and Doug. Because whatever, you know, and I think Doug's a decent coach. Doug has obviously not gotten the most out of Carson Wentz. And you can't allow your big money starting quarterback in his prime to regress and continue to regress at this kind of rapid pace. So that's where I want to start tonight. Who do you choose? And if you're picking Carson, don't bring up the contract. Don't bring up any of that stuff. Because this decision is too important long-term to take those factors into consideration. If it means sacrificing next year, it means sacrificing next year. But who do you choose? I don't think it's any surprise to anybody who's been listening to me recently that I would choose Doug Peterson. And I'm not
I'm not very happy with Doug right now either. And I'll get to Doug's comments a little later on from Monday, because I thought Doug did a terrible job on his call with Angelo, and I thought he did an even worse job in his Zoom media conference on Monday afternoon. So I am not happy with Doug Peterson right now. The difference is, I still believe, at least somewhat, that Doug Peterson could make this thing work with another quarterback, whether that be Jalen Hurts, whether that be somebody else, partially because I've seen Doug do it. But I believe Doug Peterson can make this thing work with another quarterback. I am much less convinced that Carson Wentz could get back to being an adequate quarterback with another coach. Because good quarterbacks, yeah, they're maximized by good coaching, but they don't regress to this level regardless of the coaching they have. Like, Aaron Rodgers, great player. Aaron Rodgers was coached horribly by Mike McCarthy. By the way, we got a great McCarthy story later on. But Aaron Rodgers coached horribly by Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy didn't maximize Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is still a hell of a player. You know, you look in, I mean, just one example I'm thinking of. Go back to San Francisco in 2012, 2013. You know, Jim Harbaugh obviously is showing now he's not a very good coach. A guy like Colin Kaepernick still was able to succeed in spite of that. Many quarterbacks who are good quarterbacks can succeed in despite getting poor coaching, and can at least be adequate despite getting poor coaching. Quarterbacks just don't fall off the face of the earth because of a few play calls or because of a few things around them that, by the way, are made a lot worse, made out to be a lot worse than they actually are. But I don't think Carson Wentz will ever be a top-level quarterback again. I don't. And that's really the question when it comes to Carson Wentz, because if you don't have a top-level quarterback, I'm sorry, I'm not going to settle for an average quarterback. I'm not going to settle for an average guy. That's not ultimately going to win you anything in this league. I mean, look for years what Andy Reid had in Kansas City with Alex Smith. Alex Smith is a perfectly fine average quarterback in the NFL. When he was at the heights of his powers, when he was at his best, he was what? We're probably right around the 15th to 20th best quarterback in the league, right in that range. And Andy Reid realized, I'm not going to ever win anything significant with this guy. So he went out and got a quarterback who he felt could be a star. And if you don't think Carson Wentz can be a star anymore, you got to move on. It's not about getting him back to a competent level. That's what this year's about. This year's about getting him back to a competent level. But long term, it's got to be about making him a top 10 quarterback. Because if you don't believe he can be a top 10 quarterback, regardless of what coach he has, then what are we doing here? There's no point to sticking with him. You got to look for the next guy, whether that's Jalen Hurts, whether that's somebody in this draft or a draft down the line or somebody you could get via trade, even though guys, quarterbacks at that level, you very rarely are able to acquire via trade. So if I had to choose, I would choose Doug Peterson. Because in my mind, there's a much stronger chance Doug can get tremendous results with a different quarterback than Carson Wentz. There's a much better chance of that happening than there's a chance of Carson Wentz rebounding to a top 10 quarterback level with a different coach. So I want you to choose tonight. And I'll take down the tallies. We'll do a little election here, I guess, of who would you prefer? Who would you choose long-term, Doug Peterson or Carson Wentz? Because that's the decision Jeffrey Lurie and the Eagles organization will have to make at the end of the season, whenever that happens, probably about 6 weeks from now. 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494. If you want to get in, Doug or Carson, who are you choosing long-term? That is how we are starting the show this morning. If you do want to get in, Philly Sixers, what you've liked from the Sixers so far this offseason, you're welcome to chime in on that. I wouldn't mind talking to some Sixers tonight. So we will get to that as well. I have social media gripe coming up around 2:45. So we'll do that. Plenty of stuff to talk about this morning on the show. 215-592-9494 is how you get in. I'm Tom Kelly, in for Big Daddy Graham, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP, I'm Tom Kelly, in for Big Daddy Graham on a Tuesday morning. If you want to get in, 215-592-9494 to open the show. Open lines right now to begin. Starting the show talking about the Eagles and the long-term decision that is going to be upon them in a few weeks here. Because it's just clear that the Carson Wentz, Doug Peterson dynamic cannot continue. That there is no way that these two guys can be back next year working together. We've seen too much at this point. We've seen enough to know that this is just, for whatever reason, a dynamic without the exact right assistance around them that were around them in 2017, 2016, even 2016, because Carson Wentz's rookie year, he had a similar supporting cast, and he didn't play this poorly. The offense looked a lot better, and remember, we were pretty optimistic about the future of that team at the time and Carson Wentz at the time. And for whatever reason, without those guys in place, without that staff in place, things have deteriorated with both Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz. And, you know, the other option is get rid of both of them. I don't believe that's going to happen. I think this is a spot where you're going to have to choose between the two. And I want to know, who would you feel more comfortable moving forward with in the long term? Do you have more faith that Doug Peterson can get this team and this offense back to functioning at a high level with Jalen Hurts or another quarterback? Or do you have more faith that a new coach can come in and get Carson Wentz back to playing at a top 10 level? Because as I said in the first segment, if you're just confident that maybe Carson Wentz can get back to being an average-ish quarterback, then that's not worth salvaging anyway, not for what you're going to be paying him. If you're paying this guy long-term, you need to have a clear feeling that he is going to be able to be a difference maker for you, that he's going to be able to be a top flight, top level quarterback in this league. If you don't believe that, it's time to move on. And pretty simply, it's going to be a choice that Jeffrey Lurie and this organization are going to have to make long term in order to try to get things back on track here, because they are as bad as I can remember right now. This is worse than it was last year, Chip. It was. The team looks worse. The offense looks worse. The quarterback looks worse. I said it yesterday, and it pains me to say this greatly. I said this was my start back on the air, essentially. Back in like 2015 was when I was working at Delaware Park with Glenn and Ray, and Glenn would put me on to do my Sam Bradford rants. Sam Bradford's played better in 2015 than Carson Wentz is playing this year. It's true. And I hate to admit that, but it's just a fact. 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494. And the season that Carson is having really is epically bad. And, you know, I know people think I pick on Carson Wentz, but there is reason. I mean, his play is that hideous. And Ruben Frank wrote an article on NBC Sports Philadelphia on Monday. And it was 10 Carson Wentz statistics that will make you sick. And throughout the course of the show, each segment, I'll mention a different statistic from Rube. because they're pretty bad. And I have all the stats in front of me here, and I'll mention one this segment. Carson Wentz's 14 interceptions are the most by an Eagles quarterback through 10 games since Ron Jaworski had 17 in 1977. Jaws, I thought Jaws was like, somebody said last week Jaws is the best quarterback in Eagles history. It doesn't seem like it. I'm sorry, I don't remember watching Jaws play. I remember Jaws from the Edge NFL matchup show, which that, man, that was a great show. I don't know why they got rid of that. But it's the most interceptions through 10 games since Jaws had 17 back in 1977. The only other Eagles quarterback with more interceptions through 10 games than Carson Wentz has so far this year in the last 60 years, Norm Snead, who had 17 in 1968 and 16 in 1969. Man, Norm was able to do it in back-to-back years. That's not good. But, Mike, didn't somebody said that, right? They said Jaws was the best quarterback in Eagles history. He had 17 picks in 10 games in 1977. Who said that, by the way? Do you remember?
Was it that guy?
It wasn't Walt, right?
No, you by thought way, it was we, Walt. It was Paul.
Right.
I thought his name was Paul. Because then he called him like a drunk or something. He called McNabb a drunk.
Yeah, he called McNabb a drunk.
He had like
drunk.
A great punctuation to his call.
Yeah. So Jaws is the best quarterback. Jaws had 17 picks through 10 games in 1977. But Jaws is the best quarterback in Eagles history. Okay, Paul. By the way, we ain't never got an update on Walt, did we? Is Walt okay? Do we know that Walt's okay?
We don't need an update. He told us he's never calling you again.
Right.
That's the update.
He was worried about an assassination attempt.
Well, that
I
was,
mean, I'm worried that he's got assassinated.
He only had to worry about that if he spilled too much. He kept his lips tight.
Right, he did. He did, so that's true. But, Mike, I'll ask this question to you.
All right.
Doug or Carson long-term, which one would you choose? And don't, as I said, it's too big of a decision to take the money into account here. Do you have more faith that Doug could get this team back to running at a high level with Jalen Hurts or a different quarterback, or that Carson could get back to a high level with a new coach? Which one would you choose if you had to?
That I've the one I have higher confidence in, or the
yes.
one to move on from?
The one. Yeah, I guess I framed that.
Yeah, I wasn't sure which one.
Which one would you have more confidence in long term?
Oh, Peterson. Like, coaches don't age like nearly as fast as players do. That's not, you know, it's not breaking news. But obviously, you know, Peterson's going to be around as a coach longer than Wentz will. I mean, Wentz's days as being a good quarterback could very well be over.
Right. I'll make you the first vote of the night. So one vote for Doug. Doug or Carson, the decision at the end of the year, because it's either going to go one of these two ways. It's going to be Carson with a new coach or Doug with a new quarterback, whether it's Jalen Hurts or somebody else. And I heard at the very end of Jody's show, Stephen Egg Harbor, I actually thought Steve gave the best comp for Wentz that I've heard so far, which is RG3. It's honestly a pretty good comparison where you look at both their careers and Carson sustains his first major injury in his second year. RG3's was at the very end of his first year. But Carson Wentz's season in 2017, I think results-wise, was very similar to RG3's season in 2012. People forget how good RG3 was that year. Like, and he kind of became...
They don't forget. They know.
Well, I don't know. Some people, he became a punchline very quickly. So if you weren't paying close attention, maybe it was overshadowed. But remember after 2012, like, I thought RG3 was going to have a better career than Andrew Luck at that point. He was
maybe,
great.
Yeah, I mean, they were great that year. Yeah, I think he won the rookie of the year.
Right.
That year.
So I thought that was a pretty interesting comparison and shows you how, you know, an injury can just mean a guy's not the same. And maybe Carson Wentz is just never going to be good again.
Same with Culpepper.
Yeah. Culpepper wasn't at that level, though.
He was in the NFC title game as a rookie, I think.
Right. But was he like an MVP conversation type guy?
He may have one year. I don't think he was consistently. I mean, after he hurt his knee, he was done.
Right. Well, I guess, but RG3, I think, was a pretty good one for Wentz. But that's the question I have, because it's a question the Eagles are going to need to make at the end of the year. It's the decision the Eagles are going to need to make at the end of the year. Doug with a different quarterback or Carson with a different coach? Which one would you choose? 215-592-9494. Let's get started on the phones with Lou in Sacramento. What's up, Lou?
Just very frustrated like the rest of the city. It's just been off the rails completely. I just don't see them getting rid of either, but if I had to choose, I'm going to get rid of Wentz. And the problem is now I'm thinking about looking at the salary cap the next couple of years. They're behind the eight ball. I mean, they're not going to be good next year either. So if I'm Lori, which he won't do, get rid of Roseman, because he clearly doesn't know what he's doing. He thinks he's the smartest guy in the room, taking a second-round pick in Jalen Hurts. I mean, I would start trading assets, and it hurts and pains me to say it. You're going to have to trade guys like Fletcher Cox and Zach Ertz, and that sucks. We're in a crappy situation right now.
Yeah, I mean, Lou, that is one way to do it. I mean, I think Ertz is I thought Ertz was going to get traded for a while. I'm not sure what kind of value you're going to get back for him. And I'll tell you what, even a guy like Fletcher Cox, I think it's difficult to trade a guy like that because of his contract. You know, I think it's going to be difficult to move him.
Exactly. And that's the part that's where Roseman should be first to go, which Roseman needs to give up whatever he does with the cap and his computer and analysis, fine. But he doesn't know how to find talent. Doug needs to give up play calling because he clearly doesn't know how to call plays. And Carson, I don't know how he's going to fix what's wrong with him, but maybe he needs to take a look in the mirror and start understanding that a quarterback isn't as good as his arm strength and his elusiveness and his toughness, which he's elite at all three of those. But he's poor in the things that make the Tom Brady's and the Drew Brees's and the Peyton Manning. Decision-making, reading defenses, trusting your receivers, timing with your receivers, footwork, pocket presence. All those things he's not working on, or someone's not drilling into his head that he needs to work on it.
Yeah.
So,
no, Lou, you're right.
Yeah.
No, you can continue, Lou. Sorry.
Oh, no. Sorry. I'm okay. Just venting, and it's just...
No, but I think...
It's hard to watch.
It is, and you made a good point, because I'm just watching that Monday Night Football game, and, you know... both defensive lines are getting a decent amount of pressure. Like, those offensive lines weren't doing a great job Monday night, but you see Brady and Goff is obviously somebody we compare Carson with, they're getting the ball out quickly. And that's been a big issue with Carson, where people will rip the offensive line, but I think a lot of it's on him just holding the ball way too long.
I think you're right. He's holding the ball too long. He's not trusting his receivers. He's not trusting what he's seeing, and that's a bad position in. But again, I go back to it. You look at Roseman. Where are you spending your money on? You're spending your money most on the quarterback and the defensive line, and they just haven't produced. And Wentz is pretty much the worst player per dollar in the league right now. And that was all Roseman going up to get him and going to a small time. You know, North Dakota State guy that, you know, maybe could have been the number two pick, maybe not. That's his decision. Eventually, you know, it all comes back to him.
Yeah.
And when you're paying guys like Malik Jackson and the Hargrave, and they're not producing, and you're spending number one picks and on Derek Barnett, and you're spending second round picks on Jalen Hurts, who doesn't even see the field. I just don't know what we're doing. And they're trying, and I see what he's trying to do is kind of, instead of, you know, rebuild, he's trying to reload every single year. You can only do that so often. I mean, you went for it in 2018 and 2019, try to win a Super Bowl after you won your first. I get that. It's time to tear it down.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, Lou, and I appreciate the call. And the moves by the front office have caught up with the Eagles, certainly. And I mean, Howie has done a poor job constructing this team. I think that's pretty clear. And man, the Javon Hargrave thing is very frustrating. Like, I watch him. He looks really out of shape. Like, when I'm watching these games, Javon Hargrave, he looks a little overweight. He looks like he's not in shape. He looks like he's huffing and puffing every play. I mean, when has this guy made one significant play this year? Just one.
Yeah, I agree with you. Actually, it kind of entered my thoughts, that Rams game, because I think he, like, kind of took his time coming back from an injury or something. And he, something about him just, it kind of entered my head, like, is this guy just, like, out of shape? And I haven't been able to, like, shake it since.
Right.
That's all I say.
Well, I kind of noticed it. I kind of noticed it on Sunday, like, and not to be a little rude here, but he looked, I'm like, wow, he looks pretty fat. And I guess that is kind of rude. I guess there's no way to say that not rudely, but he's like huffing and puffing and he's not making any plays. And it's like, this is the guy you're paying $13 million for nothing. Like, they've literally gotten nothing from Javon Hargrave. They've gotten nothing from Derek Barnett, who is a first-round pick in his fourth year.
You hate Barnett.
I do. He's terrible.
He's not terrible. He
jumps off sides all the time. Average. Hey, he has more penalties. He's got more penalties than sacks in his career. Got to. Has to. I'd be stunned if he didn't. I don't know if there's a way to check that. If you can, you know, go for it.
I'll check.
I mean, how many personal foul penalties has he had in his career?
Probably like five.
It seems like more. Well, I'll tell you what. The personal foul penalty he had last year in the playoff game was a killer. Absolute killer. I believe the Eagles were about to get off the field on a third and goal, and it was a personal foul that ended up setting up Seattle, one of their only touchdowns that game.
So he's had six career personal fouls, four unnecessary roughnesses, and two roughing the passers.
So that's well,
I was close. I said five. He has six.
Can we get to the offsides? How many offsides penalties? We know that. Oh, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Oh
11.
My goodness!
He is all right. So in his career, you want to guess how many penalties he has?
Yes,
17.
17 penalties. How many sacks? There's no way he has 17 sacks.
18 and a half.
Wow.
Wrong again, Kelly.
Yeah, great production you're getting out of your first-round pick in his fourth year. He's plus 1.5 on sacks to penalties.
I just love when you go way too far with your hyperbole.
It wasn't way too far. It was almost right.
You went too far. You said he had more of the other.
It was almost right, Mike. I think I'll take that as a win, honestly. 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494. But, yeah, Howie deserves a lot of criticism as well. I'm not letting Howie off the hook. I think there's a decent chance Howie will be gone, and I think Howie probably should be gone. But the one thing that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, there's no way Doug and Carson are back. Howie is much more of a fluid situation because of his relationship with Lori. Not that that should buy him anything, but it will. But Doug or Carson, there's no way they're both back. Which one do you feel more comfortable about? So far, we have two votes for Doug and none for Carson Wentz. You know, do you believe Carson with another coach, you know, a McVay, Kyle Shanahan type? Obviously, you're not getting either of those guys, but an up-and-comer type like an Eric Bieniemy. Do you think an Eric Bieniemy could come in here and turn Carson Wentz around? Or do you think Doug with Jalen Hurts or another quarterback could get the most out of him? I would agree with Lou and Mike so far and say that I'd be more comfortable with Doug. 215-592-9494, 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. When we get back, we'll have a social media gripe for you. And also, I saw this coming on, a passing of somebody on Monday, and it reminded me of a Seinfeld episode. We haven't played a Seinfeld clip in a while, so we'll play you a little Seinfeld clip when we get back as we reminisce to the early days of the pandemic when it was a sad time, even though things somehow are worse now. But that was a rough time as far as talking sports, but a happy time because we had our Seinfeld side character tournament and Curb side character tournament as well. So we'll play this Seinfeld clip for you and honor this man when we get back. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. I'm Tom Kelly in for Big Daddy Graham, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Well, yeah, that was that non-fat yogurt episode. That was Rudy Giuliani. Man, that guy not a good couple weeks for Rudy, huh? Starting with that Borat movie coming out, and now, you know, the whole Four Seasons debacle, the hair dye. Rudy might just want to step over and just stay inside for a little while. Doesn't seem like when he comes out, you know, good things happen.
Yeah, now it seems like the White House is wondering if he's making them look bad.
Yeah. This whole thing's just a mess. I don't know. Now there's a concession but non-concession. I don't know. I don't really want to get into all that. But yeah, Rudy, I'll just say, if Rudy Giuliani is heading your legal team right now, probably not going great. But we'll just leave it at that. And the thing that I saw in regards to that episode, we're talking about, you know, a Seinfeld clip and who passed away. It was David Dinkins, who was New York City's first black mayor. He died at the age of 93. And I saw the story and I'm like, oh, that's sad. And then I remember Dinkins. I'm like, Dinkins, New York? That rings a bell. And now, exactly what was the storyline, Mike, of this Dinkins episode of Seinfeld? It was the non-fat yogurt episode. I knew that. Now, Lloyd Braun, the original Lloyd Braun, which that guy was a fraud. The original Braun. The second Braun was way better.
Yeah, it's before he got into the computer sales.
Right. The second Lloyd Braun was way better. He's the real Lloyd Braun. But he was an assistant to Dinkins, correct? And Elaine was impressed by that?
Yeah, that was part of it. That's how George knows him, too, because that's how...
That's how the George dynamic started, I think, because George was... Because Mrs. Costanza was comparing George because Lloyd was an assistant to Dinkins.
Right, and, you know, in George's mother's eyes, he was a failure because there was no Lloyd Braun, yeah.
And he was a failure.
All right, so the timeline of this is, as everyone knows, election days are on Tuesdays, but Seinfeld was airing on Thursday nights. November 2nd of 93 was when Giuliani this time beat Dinkins, after losing the first time, and then... So that Tuesday, he wins. And that Thursday aired the episode of the non-fat yogurt,
okay.
Which obviously, as we just heard, the clip of Rudy Giuliani makes it in. So, you know, obviously they write it ahead of time. The Seinfeld guys, they wrote the episode with kind of leaving open the possibility that either one of them could win. So they filmed a couple scenes different times.
Because the Giuliani clip, I remember, it seemed like in an odd spot. The episode was like edited... seemed like it was edited in.
Yeah,
that makes more sense.
So it was the 11th hour change.
Okay.
But yeah, like, so here's an example. Like they filmed certain scenes for both candidates.
Giuliani got him an appointment?
You mentioned George's name to Giuliani? You discussed George with possibly the next mayor of New York?
Mayor Dinkins got an appointment for him?
You mentioned George's name to Mayor Dinkins? You discussed George with the mayor of New York?
There you go.
Yeah, so that happened. But they could not get a commitment from Mayor Dinkins himself to appear in the episode.
Okay.
Only they were Rudy Giuliani fans because they got the commitment from him that he would do it if he won.
Well, I mean, Giuliani would go on TV anywhere. I think that's pretty clear at this point.
Yeah, so and obviously didn't air because Giuliani won. In the event that Dinkins had won, they had sent up a scene with this actor, Philip Morris.
Okay.
Do you know who Philip Morris is?
No.
All right. Philip Morris would later go on. He got a different gig later with Seinfeld as Jackie Childs.
Oh.
Kramer's lawyer.
Jackie Childs.
Yeah. So you'll hear three voices in this short clip. Larry David, Jerry Seinfeld, or, you know, everyone knows who they are. And Phil Morris, Jackie Childs, is the third one you'll hear with the story of, like, how cool this was.
If Dinkins had won, we had a spokesman do something for Dinkins who came in and said on behalf of Dinkins.
We got... this guy, Phil Morris, who we didn't know.
Now taking the city hall where Philip Trout, an aide to Mayor Dinkins, has a statement.
Well, it's hard to understand because the mayor's been doing everything he normally does. He's been watching his diet very carefully. He exercises regularly. His only indulgence that I can see is that he eats a lot of frozen yogurt, but it's non-fat.
Unfortunately for me, fortunately for Rudy, he won the election and I was out. I was out of the episode.
But if Phil Morris... or David Dinkins had won, we would have had to use the Phil Morris, and he never would have played Jackie Childs, which is one of our greatest characters.
Well, that's an interesting backstory, and maybe, I guess, a good thing that Dinkins lost the election, because if he hadn't, we'd have been deprived of Jackie Childs.
That's absolutely right.
I mean, I don't know why they couldn't just recast him. I mean, I guess...
Yeah, like...
Yeah, who else played multiple characters? Somebody else.
No, I was thinking in Sopranos, Vito is two different guys.
Oh, is he?
He's like just some guy in a bakery one episode, and they like then he's actually like Vito later on.
All right. Well, interesting. All
right. Yeah,
I'm
sure there's Seinfeld cases of that too, I feel like.
Yeah. Well, thank you for getting that on such short notice, Mike. I appreciate that. We just
wasn't for
Dinkins
you.
News. Just saw the Dinkins news a couple minutes ago. So RIP Mayor Dinkins. 215-592-9494. If you want to get in, I'll get to my social media gripe in a second here. First, let's talk to James in Limerick. What's up, James?
So, just want to chime in on the whole debate. You mentioned how Bieniemy might want to come, but Doug and Bieniemy were obviously with Andy. Well, Doug's still with Andy in Kansas City, so I don't know if Bieniemy would want to come really filling in after his buddy. That'd be a little awkward situation. So I think you got to keep Doug and let Carson go. I mean, you can't. I'm shocked he's still playing. He's leading the league in interceptions at this point, and we have a guy who's proven himself in the football playoffs in Hurts. I think we should just see what he can do at this point.
Well, I'll say this, James. Like, even if you couldn't get Bieniemy, and I don't think Bieniemy would turn down a head coaching job because of that, personally, but do you think there's any coach who could get Carson back to playing at a top 10 level?
I mean, I really don't. I mean, unless you want to give Frank Wright a coaching job, because when you look back at 2017, he was really calling the plays, if I remember correctly. And that was when he got the best production out of him.
Yeah, I mean, you're not, obviously, Frank Reich isn't coming back here to be the head coach. You're not trading to get him here. I mean, I guess you could trade Wentz to Indianapolis. That's a possibility. But so you also would move forward with Doug and another quarterback rather than try to get another coach in here for Carson.
Yeah, 100%. Okay. I just think we need to give up on Carson at this point.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it, James. Thanks for the call. And so far, I'm honestly somewhat surprised by the results that we've gotten so far of people saying they'd rather move forward with Doug in a different quarterback than Carson a different coach. Because based off it's hard to base things off social media. I'll say, based off the reaction I've gotten from social media, you know, Carson Wentz doesn't do anything wrong. That's all I see on Twitter, is it's everybody else's fault. But apparently people are seeing it. And it's what I see as well. Like, I don't think he's ever going to get back to a top 10 level. And that's kind of my whole point, is if he's not going to get back to that level, then there's no point in continuing with him. I'm not going to keep Carson and get rid of Doug, who I still believe Doug Peterson is a good coach. I still believe he can be a good coach. We've seen it. We've seen it with different quarterbacks. We've seen him do the job. I believe Doug can get to back to that level if he gets competent quarterback. But I don't think this team would be that bad if they were getting competent quarterback play. Not to say they don't have issues, but there are, by my count, 3 games this season that the Eagles should have won had they had competent play from the quarterback position, which is the Washington game, Cincinnati game, Cleveland game. There you go. It's 3 right there. You win those games, you're 6-4, and everything looks a lot different. 6-4 is not great, but in this division, it would put you firmly in the postseason. So I still believe in Doug Peterson. I still believe that Doug Peterson, with a decent quarterback, can get this team back to a Super Bowl contending level. I believe in that more than I believe Carson Wentz will ever, in his career, get back to a top 10 quarterback level, regardless of the coach. So I would move forward with Doug, and that's the decision the Eagles are going to have to make, because I guarantee you, Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz both will not be back next season. Guaranteed. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. 215-592-9494. I'll get to my social media gripe here in 1 second. First, though, I wanted to mention another one of these stats. As Ruben Frank wrote this piece on NBC Sports Philadelphia, 10 Carson Wentz stats that'll make you sick. That's not me editorializing here. That's the name of the piece that Rube wrote. Here's number 2. Wentz already has had 6 games this year with 2 or more interceptions. No other NFL quarterback has more than three. That was not meant to be a question. Has more than 3. in the last 30 years, only two quarterbacks have had more two-interception games through 10 games. Peyton Manning had 8 as a rookie in 98. Phillip Rivers had 7 in 2011. Phillip Rivers, he knows the turnover machine. Peyton Manning was in his rookie year. 6 games this year with 2 or more interceptions. Carson Wentz, in his first 4 years of his career, had only 3 of those games. 3. That, just to put in perspective how bad it's been, that he had 3 multi-turnover games in 17, 18, and 19 combined. He already has 6 this year. So just another stat illustrating how rough a season it has been. And to end the segment, we usually do this to start the segment, but I'll end the segment with my social media gripe here. And I have a couple social media gripes. First off, one thing that I don't know, this has bothered me recently, where if you'll see a pregame video of a player or a team or something like that, or somebody walking into a stadium in like a outfit that you think exudes confidence or something, when somebody will tweet, you know, Patriots by a billion or something like that. When people will tweet, I don't know what Mike's pointing at me for here. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you want to get in on this?
Yeah, I do. Like when the Vikings fans, like, remember they took over the Rocky statue?
Right.
And it was
right.
Like, birds by 50.
You'll see that every week where it's like Cam Newton is walking into Houston in like an outfit that people like.
It's like embarrassing.
Pats by a billion. It's like, all right, we get the joke. It's I don't even get where the origins of that. But that's one that bothers me. And this other one is another Eagles fan gripe, where lately I've been getting annoyed by Eagles fans on Twitter. Because some of them, you know, and it's mainly the LTBB crew that is overly annoying on Twitter. But, like, and I saw it again on Monday night, and it just is factually completely inaccurate. Because I saw people saying this when the Bucs lost a couple weeks ago to the Saints, 38-3. And I saw it again when Brady throws the pick at the end of the game on Monday night, where people will tweet out, "The Eagles broke Tom Brady." He literally won a Super Bowl the next year. He won a Super Bowl the following season. So the Eagles obviously did not break Tom Brady.
He threw for like 500 yards after almost cutting his hand off.
Yeah.
Like a week and a half later, like, or maybe 2 weeks later.
But like, I'll see Eagles fans tweeting that out like a lot whenever Brady makes a mistake. The Eagles broke Tom Brady. It's like, no, they very clearly did not break Tom Brady.
You know what's annoying too is, and I don't know if this happened tonight because I was starting in here. The scoreboard of whether Tom shook somebody's hand during COVID season or not.
Right, who cares?
All right, he's 1-for-3 in shaking Nick Foles' hands.
What,
like,
did he not shake Goff's hand or something?
I don't know, but I'm saying, excluding this, because I don't know what the story was tonight. Actually, he probably did shake Goff's hand tonight because he beat him before. He beat him in the Super Bowl.
Right.
So I guess today would be a green light handshake.
Right. It's just, that annoys me. Like, let's get over the Tom Brady. Let's get over the Tom Brady.
Tom Brady
stuff.
Dropped it.
Right. And we got to rip our boy Seltzer a little bit. That's the name of his fantasy football team.
Used to be. Now it's back to Dallas Sucks.
Oh, that's another generic Eagles fan thing. I love Seltzer, though, but, you know.
He might as well just get a Buddy lookalike to be his mascot.
Right. I mean, Seltzer at least is a producer who has a sense of humor. You know, and they're few and far between around here. I'll just leave it at that. 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. And when we get back, I want to kind of make the case for, you know, we've been talking a lot of long term with Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz and which way you would go here. But I also have a question in the short term. As the short term conversation is, do you bench Carson Wentz? And in my mind, the answer is yes. But I kind of want to make the case here for why even the Carson Wentz defenders should support that decision. And we'll do that when we get back. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. I'm Tom Kelly, in for Big Daddy Graham, Sports Radio 94 WIP.